Your window may not be great right now, but here on Posto Recaps, everything is super as Kevin Mahadeo and I are talking through the DCEU. Hello, everybody. I am Josh Wigler, and I am here with the first Everything is Super of 2023 after a week-long break in which I traveled the globe alongside my fellow justice-seeking podcast co-host, Kevin Mahadeo. Kevin, we back.
We're back. You know, missed opportunity. I think I mentioned this on the plane. It was obviously a long flight. Josh and I were sitting, he was one seat in front of me, and I looked on the plane screen about what movies were available, and sure enough, Justice League was there. And I was like, Josh, on this flight, we could do an impromptu podcast. Watch Justice League and record.
Yeah. I did bring one microphone with me on the trip. A break glass in case of emergency situation, but thank you to everybody at Post Show Recaps who had us covered, and no thank you to Kevin for that truly awful idea. Even I'm the one here being like, sir, we are on vacation. Okay,
yes.
We are on vacation. Well, Kevin and I, we were members of Justice League International.
Indeed,
this past
the good
week.
Old JLI.
We were part of the JLI. We took a week off. We traveled Europe. We have so many stories that are not fit for podcasting. But hang out with us in the Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord, and you could probably get a story or two. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. But Kevin, we are back with the first of what shall be two Justice League podcasts, because we have finally arrived at the culminating event of the DCEU.
This is what it's all been leading to.
It was all building towards this. It was building towards Justice League, and then things go south, and it is not exactly Zack Snyder's Justice League that winds up in theaters, and a small army of very loud robots complain about the fact that Zack Snyder's Justice League is not the version of Justice League that we get. Instead, we get Joss Whedon stepping in as the shadow director of the remainder of Justice League after Zack Snyder had to leave the project due to some very tragic circumstances surrounding the death of his daughter during production on the movie. Joss Whedon sweeps in, finishes Justice League. Justice League gets into theaters. Justice League is panned. Even the Snyder loyalists are mad because it's not Zack's vision. Years later, Zack Snyder's Justice League arrives on HBO Max as a four-hour odyssey. The Snyder Cut is real, or becomes real.
It becomes real.
Let's
be clear.
Real. And so, because there are two official versions of Justice League, and Kevin and I are committed to going through the entire DCEU, we are doing every single movie that falls under the DCEU umbrella. That means this week we shall talk about the theatrical Justice League. Next week, we shall talk about the four-hour Zack Snyder's Justice League. Kevin, that's what's happening. That is what we have decided to do with our lives.
What a way to start off 2023. We're really making a choice here to set the tone for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And the tone is gray because Justice is gray.
Justice is very gray. I mean, Justice is a little bright in this movie.
It is. That's actually one of my pros about this film that I'm sure we'll get into. But first, we should probably, I guess, talk a little bit about the shenanigans, right? Like, this movie is infamous for its behind the scenes chicanery. It's not just a Joss Whedon stepped in. It's, you know, there was a spiral with the ratings of the previous movies, the criticism, everything was so grim and gritty. So they brought in Joss Whedon to try and like lighten
punch
it
up.
Punch it up, which certainly he attempted to do.
I think my favorite bit of humor that Joss Whedon infuses Justice League with is having Henry Cavill come back to shoot some material on Justice League with a mustache in real life.
Yep.
And pretend like we'll all be cool and totally accept it as a normal thing if they just CGI the mustache off. That was really funny.
That is the part. So, like, obviously, we gotta hit that, right? Like, famously.
In the first 5 minutes.
In the first 5 minutes.
I don't know.
This is what needs to be talked about, because like the reshoots, the response, sure, but part of that is tied into the fact that they did reshoots for this movie. They brought Henry Cavill back. Henry Cavill was in the midst of filming Mission Impossible Fallout, which is the best Mission Impossible movie, and it is goddamn incredible.
It's the best?
It's the best one, for sure, hands down. It's so good. I just rewatched all the Mission Impossible movies a few months ago. But he has facial
hair. The first one doesn't get enough love, I gotta tell you.
The first one's solid, but like, there's
the first one's a masterpiece.
So many good ones in the recent years. Yeah. Two is the weakest. There's no question there.
Obviously.
But he comes in with his facial hair. They ask him to shave it. He can't do it contractually. And literally,
the expert trolls at Paramount are like, he can't. He's gonna need to keep that mustache.
He's gonna need it because they said we will pay to CG his mustache in. We will pay all the visual effects. We will pay for it. And Paramount was like, he needs that. He needs to keep the mustache. So instead, Warner Bros. Had to CG out Henry Cavill's facial hair for this movie. And boy, is it noticeable. That's certainly one way to determine which scenes are Joss's and which scenes are Zack Snyder's, I suppose.
I do think the case of the CGI'd Henry Cavill mustache is like very emblematic of Justice League. I think it is very totemic of this movie and just all of the cooks that are in the kitchen and all of the disastrous results that are happening as the cauldron bubbles over and gets soup everywhere. It's all over the walls. It's in the nooks and crannies that are going to be really, really hard to scrub. You're never going to not have soup in your kitchen after that accident. And I think that that is ultimately what we end up with here in Justice League. So we've got a lot to talk about with this movie. We'll have a ton to talk about with the next movie. So we're going to do everything that we can on those two fronts. Before we even get any further, Kevin, typically what we've been doing is because our walkthrough of the DCEU has happened simultaneously with the DC Studios takeover of one James Gunn and Peter Safran, that it's been a very active situation, Kevin. We've had a lot of news to comb through. We expected, indeed, we feared, we dreaded the possibility that humongous news would occur while you and I were gone. And instead, what happened is James Gunn took to Twitter to post pictures of his cats and a charcuterie board. And in the background of the charcuterie board picture was a stack of Grant Morrison Batman comic books that everyone thought, oh, God, that's going to be the Batman movie. And James Gunn's like, no, it's just a charcuterie board with some Batman comics in the background. Everyone's got to relax.
I just like those comics, guys. That's all. Yeah. The internet collectively lost its mind, which is the internet is wanting to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was like the really big James Gunn news. Yeah. Was that James Gunn and his cat enjoyed a charcuterie board.
Exactly. James Gunn likes charcuterie. That's the big news.
Yeah. He had a nice meat and cheese board. Kevin, we enjoyed
that. We've had a lot of meat and cheese
nice
boards.
Nice meat and cheese boards last week or so. And that's that. I guess he did have a tweet where he said that he has written a third of an unannounced DC TV show. But I mean, I don't know. Like, what can you even do with that? Okay, so James Gunn is planning on having a TV show in the DCU, and he has contributed a third of creative energy to that. Cool.
Yeah. In addition to Peacemaker, one would assume, which you could maybe assume it's a spinoff, the Eagly spinoff, right? It's his version of Super Pets.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe it is. It's like the Wonder Twins plus Eagly, but he's just written the Eagly scenes. So the Wonder Twins are the two thirds that he hasn't touched.
If I swear to God, if one of the first projects is Wonder Twins,
I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I will lose my mind in the positive way.
Yeah.
Pure excitement.
Then one final thing on the DCEU news front since last we spoke, Kevin, because when we dropped our Wonder Woman podcast, I was really mad at the fact that Wonder Woman was not on HBO Max. Like, what was it doing not being on HBO Max? And then your friend in mind, the great Brooklyn Zed, they were in the patron Discord being like, hey, guys, I just watched it. It's on HBO Max. And then other people were like, well, we tried to watch it and it wasn't on HBO Max. So Wonder Woman is now on HBO Max, it appears. Kevin, are they listening? Are you listening to us?
I mean, the algorithm is everywhere, Josh. The algorithm is
are you listening
within
to me?
Us. It knows us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It knows that we were trashing the DCEU movies, and they're just like, we're going to punish these two. And so they did. And then once we were done, they put it back on.
Yeah. You made me pay money.
Exactly.
We'll show you. Yeah. We'll show you.
There's also, yeah. I mean, there was that, was it Variety, the Hollywood Reporter?
Oh, there was a Variety article that kind of covered all of Dwayne Johnson's attempts to like wine and dine the top brass at the DC side of Warner Brothers of like, you're going to want to go all in on Black Adam.
Yeah.
Trust me. And so like, it was
the hierarchy of power will change.
Yeah. It's the big expose on how all of that played out. I didn't get a chance to comb through it too much, but you read it, I believe, Kevin.
I did read it. I mean, it was really just a, I think a, what's the word I'm looking for? Not a culmination, but just sort of a, re-encapsulation of all the pieces we knew. Just brought it all together to be like, yeah. Oh yeah, here's the order of events. But there was nothing in there that was overly,
nothing too salacious.
Nothing really salacious. It's just really, it was that people were mad that he went over other people's heads and stuff, but like, whatever. That he's also The Rock. I mean, what's crazy to me is seeing The Rock almost like hit, wait for it, rock bottom, with all of what he's doing here. I've never seen a man's career turn so quickly over one like instance, right? Like this one movie has, I feel like, affected him deeply, which is not great, but it's also so weird.
Yeah, who knows what this is going to look like on the other side of things. I mean, we'll talk about it much more, I'm sure, when we get to Black Adam at the end of the DCEU watch. But that was a lot of time invested in. I get it. I do. But he's also The Rock. He's going to bounce back. His life is going to be fine.
Yeah, he's doing great.
The other major bit of superhero-related news that happened while you and I were gone, it is not related to the DCEU, but I feel like it would be weird if we didn't remark on it, was everything that went down with Jeremy Renner. You and I were like in the middle of traveling as all of that was going on. I think that the latest update seems to be like he's been posting videos on Instagram and stuff, so it seems like that's at least really, really positive. But yeah, our thoughts are with Jeremy Renner and his family as they're going through, as Hawkeye is going through it.
Rough accident, sending obviously our positive vibes and loves that.
Yes. All right. Well, send positive vibes to Kevin and I, as we are now going to begin our ascent of Mount Justice here, as we are going to be talking about Justice League, the theatrical cut, first and foremost, a clean, crisp, two-hour movie. We do appreciate that. It's pretty tight. It's a pretty tight movie. A hilarious thing happened to me, Kevin, today as I was watching Justice League this morning in preparation for the podcast. I believe that Justice League now stands out as the only DCEU movie that my wife, Emily Fox, has ever seen. She watched it with me this morning.
Sure, she followed along perfectly. No,
she was tracking it. She had a lot of spicy takes along the way.
Oh, I love a spicy take.
She really does not care for Ben Affleck as Batman.
Wow.
She did not like. She didn't think it was convincing, Ben Affleck's Batman visage. She laughed at Henry Cavill's CGI mustache. She looked at the Flash and said, "Isn't that the one who's causing all the problems?"
That's correct.
Which was great. And then there's the first scene in which Steppenwolf and his cronies go to Atlantis to take the Mother Box, and is fighting Aquaman. And I wasn't really paying too much attention at that moment. And Emily goes, "Is that an underwater pirate?" And I was like, "Wait, are you talking about Aquaman?" And she's like, "No, that guy." She's pointing at Steppenwolf. So these were Emily's spicy takes for Justice League.
She had nothing on the Amber Heard part of that, see?
Nothing. Nothing on it.
Isn't that other prop person that also caused problems?
I suppose. I'm not getting into it,
no,
to be
we don't
quite honest with you. But yeah, she. I guess it's her favorite DCEU movie because she hasn't watched any of the other ones.
I mean, that's Schrodinger's DCEU movie. It is both her favorite and her least favorite movie.
Yeah, but I'll tell you that this was one of my favorite experiences watching one of these DCEU movies for the Everything is Super podcast because of like Emily doing Statler and Waldorf over my shoulder was pretty good.
Does she also do the laugh? Just, oh!
Of course. This is not a movie that should be laughed at. This is a movie that should be celebrated. This should be a movie that's discussed in like the pantheon of the great superhero movies. I mean, it's Batman, it's Superman, it's Wonder Woman, it's Flash, it's Cyborg, it's Aquaman. You got Jim Gordon is in here. Lois Lane is doing stuff. We're at least alluding to Darkseid. How can we go wrong? And yet.
Many ways in which it went wrong.
And yet, it does go wrong. So we were getting into a bit of the backstory on it here, Kevin, it does feel like this was like the movie that was so important for Warner Brothers in their this was it. This was the climax. They had spent all of these movies building towards this point. They were kind of going to reverse engineer the Avengers formula of rather than do like a ton of little movies that build to the team up. We'll do the team up pretty quickly and then branch out from there. And so this movie being a strong, reliable, at least like it's got to be a home run, if not a grand slam for DC to get this right. It ends up not quite being that. And I think that the confidence heading into it is clearly shook from the experiences with the previous DC movies leading into this one, Kevin.
Well, yeah, they tried to retrofit it into a Marvel movie. Hilariously, this all started with them being like, we're not going to be like Marvel. And then they tried to turn a movie that was basically done into a Marvel movie and inject the humor and all that stuff. It wasn't made for that. And it at that point, you're appeasing no one, right? Like, because you have the people who are adamantly in love with this universe, who are the Snyder fans, and you've turned the movie into something that is not for them, so they're not going to like it. You're not going to get people who were excited for Justice League because you made us unexcited with the previous films that you did, right? Like, the only thing they had going for it was Wonder Woman, which they then inserted that opening scene, basically, of her fighting the people who brought the bomb in. Like, that was put in after the fact, basically, because of the success of the Wonder Woman movie. So, like, you have situations like that where it's just, like, everything's a mess. You have the studio's hands involved, and, like, there's a lot of reasons bad things you can say about Joss Whedon, certainly. But in this particular case, I don't envy the task that he was given here to deal with this, right? And famously so, there's, in the opening of this movie, which features a song that I actually do really like. One of my positives about the movie, I do love that song, Everybody Knows. It's a great song. I listen to it a lot. As they're doing the montage parts, there is a homeless man who has a sign that they focus in on, and the sign says, I tried. And everyone sort of accepts that's Joss Whedon telling the audience at the top of this movie, I did my best, guys. I tried, but there's only so much you can do. Yeah. And I find that hilarious, as that's the start of the film. It's just like, well, I tried.
I get it. I do think it's funny. If that's true, if that's really why that's in there, and especially if it like slipped under the wire. But I have a lot of questions about why on earth, especially after, you know, doing the Marvel movies, making two Avengers movies, the second one getting kind of trashed the way that it did, to the degree that it got trashed, I think is probably a harsh way of framing it. But clearly, Whedon was very burned out on superhero stuff. I really don't understand why he would step in for this. Was it like...
Money, 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 money.
How much money could that have been?
They probably backed up a good truck, right? Like, this is the man who did Avengers... hilariously, they burned him before. I think Warner Brothers might be a little dumb. Like, I think they went to him, gave him a ton of money after screwing him over previously, and were just like, fix this movie for us, as if, I don't know, I would have held a little bit of a vendetta. Like, it's kind of ridiculous that this is the route and this is the decision they made, right? It's not even insane that he accepted it. Any person, I think, if offered money like probably they offered him, would take the job. I think it's insane they went to him to do this.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think that the Whedonisms do show, but it's like sort of like this odd Whedonistic stitching of a Snyder movie. So this movie does kind of like, it's sort of like the Cyborg of superhero movies in that, like, this thing was human once, and now it's being assembled together by mother boxy sci-fi alien technology and turned into this like strange robot. And it has this, like, I don't know. It has a very, very odd personality. There is something about Justice League, the movie, that just feels incredibly reactionary, because that's exactly what it ends up being. And it feels like it's this very fractious film that is just held together by the thinnest of threads, because that's absolutely what occurred. I mean, there are so many different reports about the trouble on set for this movie. Specifically, once Whedon takes over, it seems like there was a lot of bad blood. Ray Fisher has been very vocal, who plays Cyborg, very vocal about his feelings on not just Joss Whedon, though certainly pointedly about Joss Whedon, but a lot of people at Warner Brothers at the time and his treatment during the making of this movie. And I think that there were, if I'm remembering right, I haven't read some of these reports in a minute, Kevin. I do think that there were like a lot of like, I'm not going anywhere near that commentary from some of like the higher profile members of the cast being like, yeah, this was not great, but I'm not talking about it.
Yeah, which is probably the safer bet, I suppose. Yeah.
But just like not a fun time had making this film. And it shows. It shows. Like it is this weird movie where it is fun, but really not fun at all. Do you know what I mean?
It's an odd movie, right? It's very, very, look, at the end of the day, it's disjointed. It feels very slapped together. There is a plot you can follow. The editing is wild. There's just like segment cuts to segment cuts to segment cuts. It doesn't feel like there's necessarily a flow. However, Josh, here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
I don't dislike this movie.
All right.
That's probably where the hot take is about to hit.
All right. Well, how about this? How about this? Perfect time for an ad break. We're going to go to commercial. And when we come back, we will find out why Kevin Mahadeo doesn't hate the theatrical Justice League. Stay tuned. All right, Kevin, we are back.
We're back.
When we last left off, it was one of the most cliffhangery cliffhangers in post-show recaps ad break history, as you dropped the bombshell that I don't hate this movie.
I don't hate this
definitely
movie.
Definitely not the reaction I would have expected, and I would love to know more.
Yeah, okay, listen, the parts...
Should we just, like, start with, like, do you want to quickly just, like, what is this movie? What happens in this movie? Like, you said that you saw a little bit of a plot in here. What was it? What did you see?
I mean, the plot is pretty straightforward, right? Like, Superman's dead. There's these MacGuffin devices called Mother Boxes. There's three of them.
Yeah, we use them to rate the movies and such.
Right. They were brought to Earth many, 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 many moons ago. And they were there was a giant battle. They were separated. Three groups of people took each one of them, hid them, or whatever. The guy Steppenwolf is coming to return them all together. Batman is aware of this.
Three Mother Boxes for the realms of men.
Yes, right? I mean, it was very Lord of the Rings. We'll get there, but Batman knows this is going to happen. He needs to assemble a team, so he brings together Wonder Woman, who he's already friends with, along with the Flash and Aquaman, and they loop Cyborg into all of this because he's connected to the Mother Boxes, and shenanigans happen. Batman's like, we can't do this without Superman. They raise Superman from the dead, and then they go fight the bad guy Steppenwolf after he has all three Mother Boxes, and he's starting to combine them, which will lead to the destruction of the planet, basically. Well, not destruction, the forever altercation of the planet. Punchy, 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 and they save the day, right? Like, that's essentially the plot of this film.
Yeah.
It's very straightforward, very simplistic plot. The problem is, of course, that it doesn't feel very big. Steppenwolf is a nothing burger sandwich. But before we get to the bad, which, Josh, there's going to be a lot of bad.
Okay, great.
I do want to start with the things that, the reason why I don't end up hating this movie.
This is a new year, new he, everybody. New year, Kevin is trying to be more positive in 2023. Positive. Watch it last 1 week before we get into the Snyder Cut.
Of course, the one everyone likes is probably the one. I've said this. I've never.
I would
watched
not say
it.
Everyone likes it. I would not say everyone likes the Snyder Cut.
I've not watched it yet, so it'll be my first time watching it. But there's a lot in this movie that I do think are good ideas. Some parts well executed, but like it's not put together well. But the pieces are actually where I'm like, oh, the pieces are pretty good, right? Like the opening of this movie. Let's start right there, not with the song, but this. This handheld camera phone video of these kids talking to Superman. I actually love this scene because for a person who has not seen Superman in these movies, for four films that we've watched, it was the first instance of opening this film in a way that felt like that's Superman. In the way that he's talking to the kids to stick around and what he's saying, the way they asked him, what's your favorite thing about Earth? And he kind of looks off and smiles. That's Superman. And
sure.
Opening a movie with that made me excited to be like, that's really awesome. You get this moment. His face looks really
messed up.
His face looks,
is so weird. His face looks so weird. It's so clearly they CGI'd the mustache up. His mouth is so odd. This is clearly a scene that was filmed in the post-production and in the era where he's on loan from Mission Impossible.
This is what I mean, like
the very first impression you get of this movie is the weirdly mustached off Henry Cavill.
Which is true, but like...
The scene is great in theory. Exactly. I totally agree.
And that's what I mean. There's so much in theory and in like the surface that you're just like, oh, this is solid. And here's my point though, right? If they had just done this from the start, we wouldn't have had to film this new scene if they had just written Superman to begin with. So again, this is a fault of what happened before. But okay, so there's that. I mentioned the opening song I really liked. The fact that this movie has color, they undesaturized it, you know, it feels brighter. I really like that a lot.
Oh, yeah. Superman specifically in so many of the final action scenes of the movie is, you know, wearing the black Superman suit IRLs, which they color up.
I'm probably not going to like that movie, but that's
fine. I mean, if you haven't enjoyed Snyder's take on Superman, yeah, you probably won't like those components.
Shocker.
Of the movie.
Like, yep. He got the main character DC wrong. Anyway. The other things that stick out, right? Like the Batman stuff. Here's the thing. Here's the humor problem is that I honestly think some of the humor is very, very, very bad. The forced humor, the inserted humor, like Batman, when he's lying there after the Superman fight, and he's just like, oh, something's bleeding. That's terrible. But you actually have these moments that I like, again, a version here on paper of what they're doing with this Batman, with Ben Affleck as Batman. It's not the one we saw in BVS, right? Like, this Batman feels, it isn't it, let's start there, but it feels close to trying to do almost a version that exists in comics and the animated series. That moment when he meets Aquaman and he has that almost like semi-smirk and he's just like, here, you can talk to fish. The way he delivers that line feels very Batman. That delivery, that is the type of humor Batman does have. Not, oh, something's bleeding. That's not Batman. But that, I hear you talk to fish, is Batman. Also Batman, a phenomenal Batman scene in this movie, is when he's arguing with Wonder Woman and they're having that moment of bringing Superman back to life. And he has that thing about, like, you don't inspire people, you know? Like, and he insults Steve. That aggression, that I know I'm right and I'm going to be an asshole about it, is very Batman. It is actually extremely reminiscent of a famous moment in, I believe it's Infinite Crisis, where Batman is talking to Superman and Wonder Woman, and he's like pissed off about everything, and he tells Superman, the last time you inspired someone is when you died. And it's like a powerful line, and it's a dick line, but it is very Batman. So like those moments that shine through, I think are very Batman-like, you know?
When he
like
says Steve Trevor, it takes me out for whatever reason. Like when he says Steve Trevor, it feels like, Joss, could you just rewrite a piece of dialogue where he says Steve Trevor?
so we can make sure.
We just need to tie the room together
Like a rug, this really needs to tie this room together.
Yeah. Batman's like Steve Trevor. So Bruce Wayne, Batman, knows automatically at this point who Steve Trevor is, and yet he can't suss out what the Flash's power is. Cool.
He's fast. Yeah. Flash is actually not going to be one of the positives. We'll get to him.
Yeah,
but
I don't disagree.
The other two things that
public menace, but pretty funny.
Yeah. The other two things I think work really well. J.K. Simmons as Jim Gordon is one of the best casting things I've seen in my entire life, and I really wish we got more of that. He looks like James Gordon. He like has a manner that could be James Gordon. He has that mustache. It is so Jim Gordon, and I'm so upset that we didn't get that version of the character that could have
existed. I believe that he was in Batgirl, the shelved HBO Max movie, so could have gotten more of him there.
This is why we can't have nice things. And so the last thing I want to hit on, there's other bits and pieces I'm sure we'll talk about. The last thing I want to hit on, though, is there's some of the action stuff that works really, really well for me. The flashback fight, or actually even before that, when it's Steppenwolf attacking the Amazons, there is that on paper Like, what he was trying to go for, I think, is cool. But the VFX just felt so sloppy and unfinished. But there's that moment where you're like, it's close to like that tracking the arrow thing that they did in Avengers, right? But it's like she's seeing the arrows tied to the mother box. She shoots it. The other Amazon jumps off the horse, grabs it. Like, that sequence, again, the idea of that sequence is really solid, but the VFX is so sloppy. And then you
it's
have
very
that
bad,
flash,
the VFX.
Yeah. The flashback fight, I thought was amazing, where you have like the Amazons and Atlanteans and a fucking Green Lantern show up.
When a Green Lantern shows up, that's really, really cool.
It's really cool. The gods are there. Like,
and
all
when,
of that.
When a Green Lantern dies, and you see a Green Lantern ring go off in search of a new Green Lantern, that's awesome. That's cool.
It's dope. It's awesome. So, like, that's something that I think is really cool and feels very awesome. And here's what I will say, because I'm sure this is a Zach scene. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but the Superman fight, when they bring him back from the dead, can I drop an F-bomb?
You've dropped one earlier in the podcast.
You're right.
Already.
Okay, well, I'm going to drop a second one, so trigger warning, I guess.
Okay.
That fight is cool as fuck. Like, okay. It's so well done. It was a moment when I remember watching it in theaters and just being like, holy shit, this is awesome. Like, I thought it was great. Like, Superman taking on the League is really interesting. I wish it wasn't as one-sided, but that moment specifically, when he's holding everyone and the Flash starts running and he just like turns slowly, incredible. It's such a fantastic moment. It's so phenomenal.
I think you
and
do see that Henry Cavill's face looks just like Henry Cavill's
exactly.
face
so
in
you
that
know
moment.
It's Zach.
So that's Snyder. And Snyder is, for whatever else you want to say, he has a very specific action style.
Yes.
That whole sequence feels very, very, very Snyder-y. I remember the way that it plays out in the Snyder Cut. I don't know how differently it plays out. It feels a lot more dangerous in my memory in Snyder's version of it. But yeah, I actually didn't think that you'd like it. I'm a little surprised, to be honest.
No, I thought that specific moment, because I also think it's really great that the Flash is shown to be faster than Superman, which I always think should be the case, that like Superman is still fast, but he's not as fast as the Flash in that moment. So like those things I really like. There's, again, all these pieces, all these bits that exist that make me enjoy parts of this movie, because I could see, it's almost like when you're watching Superman 2, right? Like you could, or even watching the Donner cut, where you're like, I can see what could have been here. And given, I think, better reins, given a little more hands off from the studio, I think something cool could have existed. As for what doesn't work, I mean, it's basically everything else, right? Like there's the inserted humor is extremely bad. Steppenwolf is awful. We'll talk about him, I'm sure. The effects feel wholly unfinished all the way through. The fact that I love that scene where Batman is arguing with Wonder Woman, and then they cut to the Flash and Cyborg grave digging, and I'm like, ugh, I don't need to see them digging a grave. You could have cut this moment out. So yeah, there's all of that. Like the rest of it is just doesn't work, because I think it also doesn't land. It doesn't have the heart and the emotion that is so vital. But then again, neither did a lot of the previous movies that we've been watching. So
sure, no, it doesn't. I think for me, this movie feels a lot like Suicide Squad to me. This movie feels a lot like Suicide Squad to me in that, like, it feels like there was an underlying vision for it that then gets, like, mismanaged by a lot of different quarters. And so, like, there are these attempts at humor that don't exactly land. There is sort of, like, this nothing burgery quality to the threat that probably the threat is the wrong... Like, just do Darkseid, you know, at this point. Or if you're going
to
do Steppenwolf, you've got
to
make Steppenwolf a character.
It was supposed to be two movies originally, right? And so, like, Darkseid,
I think he has three Justice Leagues in mind, if I'm not mistaken. There's like another Justice League that he has in mind, Snyder, where I think, like, is that the one where Superman becomes a bad guy by the end? And then his final thing was going to be a nightmare. God. Where like they had to, yeah, literally.
Spoiler, we got the nightmare.
Yeah, where he was going to have like Barry has to go back in time and change all the stuff. That's effectively what it was going to be. So I do like they were saving some stuff for the swim back, as we like to say, in a nice little nod to Gattaca. Like they definitely were. Like there was a clear idea that we would set up Darkseid here and we'll pay off Darkseid down the line. He will be our Thanos. But the problem is, No one cared. No one really cared. Like, there are a couple of moments that, you know, get you excited. The prospect of, okay, it's a table for six, but room for more. Like, yeah, I would let, like, give this like a tonal reboot and, you know, find somebody whose vision you're going to be able to back into and have this play out. But that never happens, and too much time has passed, and now we just really kind of have to hard reset the thing with James Gunn. I think it's ultimately where we have landed with that. But there are decent shreds of stuff in here. The Green Lantern stuff is really cool. Ezra Miller's pretty funny, I gotta say.
Opposite feeling.
I think Ezra Miller's pretty funny.
The only way Ezra Miller works in this movie is if you consider that the Flash is high the entire film.
Well,
he might have been, but
a black hole of snacks, Kevin.
Yeah, and honestly, that's the thing, right? Like, if you consider that the man can't slow down, so he takes, you know, he gets high, so he feels slower. It's not far fetched. But he, like, he's wide-eyed half the time. He's just like, whoa. It feels like he's completely high. That Barry Allen is just high as hell the entire film. Like, he is the thing Robin actually liked the least. She hates how he acts because he doesn't really act like Barry Allen. He acts like he's high. And honestly, if you watch it thinking he's high, it makes it better because if that in mind, it tracks. There's not a lot in there that works for me with him as Barry Allen as a Flash. It's not because of entire real
he
world.
Barry Allen they Ezra yeah. Miller yeah so. I for me I when when Jim Gordon turns around and the entire
gone.
Justice League is gone except for Barry Allen. It killed me. And again, I think a lot of these moments for me do feel like desperation of like just like flailing as I'm falling from the sky, like to grab onto something that's gonna keep you laughing. Yeah. And so like I had a few moments with Barry in that regard. I actually think, and I will be very generous with Aquaman, the movie, when we're talking about it in a couple of weeks. But I really don't think Aquaman as a character works for me at all in the context of Justice League. I think like there is this like attempt at, well, when he finally comes around, now the room comes together. Now the squad is here. Like, he was the last person that we really had to convince. He has this whole reckoning of like, I haven't spent enough time in the sea or on land. And like, there feels like there's something to do there that gets expressed and explored much better in his solo movie, but it has no catharsis for me at all in the course of this film. And I think really a lot of the problem for me ultimately, like, how much of that is on like the performance? Probably pretty little for me. I think that by and large, the actors are great. I'm really excited to talk about Ray Fisher next week because I think that they really give Cyborg very little to do here. But like, you can see like real hints of talent, I think, there with Ray Fisher.
I think Ray Fisher is very good.
He is, I really think he's the best part of the Snyder version of the movie.
I'm curious to watch it because my struggle is going to be, and I'm so sorry, everyone who are comic fans, I don't care about Cyborg.
Well, they really tried to make Cyborg happen at this moment in time, I feel like, right? Like, this is like Martian Manhunter's kind of like the classic person to have in this spot for Justice League.
This is exactly why it's weird to me. Like, Cyborg was a Teen Titan, like, but they've rebooted the universe, so now he's a founding member of Justice League. None of that works for me. I don't see him as like a Justice League member at this particular iteration, at this particular time. It just doesn't work. And I don't want to get into the whole, like, you know, racial element of why he's there and all that jazz, but like, one, just again, have more diversity in general. But like, you can fill that role with like Martian Manhunter. You have John Stewart, Green Lantern, if you want to do. You know, there's lots of options. Like, he's just in general, not even necessarily.
Well, they couldn't touch Green Lantern because that didn't work out so great, and so Warner refuses to do anything about the Green Lantern at this moment in time.
Yes, as you know, if one thing doesn't work one time, you just have to never do anything ever again.
Can you imagine, you throw Ryan Reynolds as Hal Jordan in this movie? Like, how bad could that be? You know, ultimately.
If anything, it might actually spruce it up. He might actually have, like, the humor, but...
Yeah. But he's like, nah, never again, no way. No. Only referenced in Deadpool 2, but never again.
He'd make the jokes.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ray Fisher, he's good. It's my own personal thing, I think, with the Cyborg situation.
I get that. I think what I was saying was that, like, the issues that I have are by and large, nothing to do with the actors. I even think Kieran Hines, who is a legend and what a great actor that that they utterly waste as Steppenwolf. It's so sad that and if you don't know who he is, that's Mance Rayder from Game of Thrones. It's probably just like the real quick pop culture button to press for him. Had a great role in The Terror recently. It's just in Munich. He's just in an insane amount of stuff, and he's so good all the time. And they turn him into a CGI schlock monster, and it's horrible. But like, at least the vocal work that he does, like, you can't be that mad at Kieran Hines' voice. And I think that all on its own will save this man from being a full frickin' zero for me as a villain. But I think it's less about the performances and so much about, like, not even the architecture of this movie. I think the architecture of this movie never stood a chance. I think that the idea of we can just have a movie where you care about each and every single one of these characters, and we give each and every single one of these characters a big, thorough arc, but we only have 2 hours to do that in. That time constraint within this idea that's already kind of like pushing the boundaries at this moment in time when superhero movies are coming out, I think in 2017, when the theatrical Justice League, I think we're more evolved in terms of what we can take in a superhero movie now. But I feel like that idea with just 2 hours on the board, it's not enough. On top of that, you have to bring Superman back to life. So Superman only gets to be in this movie for like a combined 20 minutes, maybe, which feels very wasteful and makes the really shitty Batman versus Superman Department of Justice movie look even shittier. So I think that most of my issues with the movie, unsurprisingly, I think, land in the lap of complete mismanagement of the IP. It's the mismanagement of the, as we love to say around these parts, the intellectual property, Kevin, was mishandled, mismanaged, and this movie basically never stands a chance. And I think it stands its best chance when we talk about Snyder's version next week, with the big asterisk of like, it's Snyder's vision. So if that hasn't been working out for you, like, you know, it's not going to work out for you. But at least it feels a lot more like it feels like it came from one person. That's the thing that I think that even you will be able to say.
That's such a weird, like, that's the thing about, like, the response to the Snyder Cut.
We'll talk about that more next week, Kevin. We don't have to get into it too deeply. But I think, like, the fact that, like, it comes from, like, an actual mind of a person instead of, like, this movie feels algorithmic in all of the wrong ways.
It feels Frankenstein. Steinian, right? But like, even to your point here, right? There's a couple things. The Superman of it all, it's kind of frustrating. It is the mismanagement of the IP ultimately, right? Like the fact that Superman shows up at the end and he basically solves the fight pretty quickly, I wish it was more of a struggle. Learn again how to use Superman effectively. If you need to take him off the table, have him preoccupied with saving more than just the one building.
That's a great moment, I do think, when Henry Cavill, like, his head kind of like snaps.
Love it.
Like,
love
he knows
moment.
That he's supposed to be like on Steppenwolf duty, but he just goes civilians. He's like a dog. You know, like, that's, I think that is a legitimately
great
moment.
It is very Superman. It's great. And I like when he calls Flash a slowpoke. Like, there's those little things that I really think are very fun in the real, like, that's fun in the right way. But like, again, like, yeah, the fact that he just solves the problem is, again, you don't understand Superman, I think, properly, or how to utilize him. But the other, let's hit on Steppenwolf, as you mentioned it. I do think I agree with you. I think Sarah Hines is wasted, because he has moments. There's like two moments specifically that I think it shows the actor doing well with, like, just a bad villain. One where he's just like the tells Wonder Woman the blood of your sisters are still slick on my axe or whatever, you know.
But then you look at the axe and, like, no, the axe clean. Is like pretty clean.
Yeah. But then the other thing is too, where he's just like, ah, finally, one of you who can, you know, like, he has this moment where his delivery, I think, is really solid. My problem with Steppenwolf is just Steppenwolf. I think he's the choice of Steppenwolf, I think, is tier one issue, right?
Yeah.
You have Darkseid.
And also that if you have Steppenwolf in this movie and you don't play Magic Carpet Ride, what are we even doing here?
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Steppenwolf, he's a minion of Darkseid, just as a quick recap. Darkseid big bad guy. He's basically one of these groups called the New Gods. He's extremely powerful. He has a bunch of underlings under him. He lives on this planet called Apocalypse. Steppenwolf is one of them. Desaad is a scientist, another. And Steppenwolf is just so boring as a character. Even in the comics, it's just like, I'm big and I have an axe. God. And you're just like, okay, cool. There's other characters who have they're like, I'm big and angry. But it's also like, but I'm also the son of Darkseid, so I have a lot to live up to. Or like, oh, I'm Orion. I'm also the son of Darkseid, but I was traded. All these backstories, all these interesting characters. And the fact they chose Steppenwolf, the stupidest, most boring person as a villain, pissed me off already. Especially when you could have done something cool where it's just this problem, right? One villain against the League. And it's just like, well, we have to make him badass. And it's like, how? He hits things hard. And it's like, boring. The goddamn Granny Goodness and the Furies are right there. And this movie, if you're going to precursor Darkseid, should have been Granny Goodness showing up with the Furies. Granny Goodness, one of the villains, minions of Darkseid, has a group called the Furies, who are these badass women who are trained to be hunters and murderers and killers. They are badass. And Big Barda, who leads them, will F you up. She is awesome. And you had this
opportunity. I'm today years old where I learned that Granny Goodness was a villain.
Wow.
I know. Yes. I just know nothing about Granny Goodness other than like there's a DC character named Granny Goodness, and that's incredible. I just always assumed like benevolent grandmother. No.
No, she's Darkseid's. It's a play on words. She runs the orphanage, and in the orphanage, she like tortures you and stuff and trains you to be like bad guys. It's where Scott Free, Mr. Miracle. Anyway, but the Fury should have been the bad guys. Granny Goodness shows up on Earth with the Furies. The Justice League is like, oh shit, we got to fight these people. And they're a group, so you have a dynamic battle that could happen. You could have Wonder Woman fighting Barda, and that'd be amazing. Hell, you could have Superman fighting Barda, and that'd be amazing. There's all these things you could have done with like this trio of bad guys. And one, again, female characters. Whoa, look at that. Diversity. Yes. Against the Justice League, which would have been really cool. And then you could have this moment at the end where they beat them and they're like, huzzah, we did it. We beat the threat. And we're like, actually, no, there's a worse threat. Yeah. And that's when you could have Darkseid as like the capper. And they're just like, we just did all of that. And it like sets up the idea of like, they struggled so much to beat these groups of people. And it's just like, no, there's worse. That's the easy solution. The fact that, like, again, they were just like, I know, Steppenwolf. And it's just like, oh, God, you suck. Every decision you make is bad.
But I think that the rush to Justice League as a movie is going to make something like that almost worse than this movie. Because, like, this movie, you don't know who these people are. So it's so important that we need to learn who these people are. And we barely really do, even over the course of this 2-hour film, because there's so many strange mythological cleanups that need to occur, specifically with the resurrection of Superman and dealing with the fallout from all of that. So I think in the world where like they marvelized this, and Aquaman comes out first, and they made a Flash movie or whatever, and the Cyborg movie that they said would come out, that's obviously never going to happen, had come out, and then you get your Justice League. I think like this fear of we're copying Marvel, it's like, hey, it works. Like it worked. Like, don't be so afraid. Just like, you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Like,
well, they don't want to flatter them,
you know, but just like do it. And then I think you have the possibility of you can have sort of like your shadow Justice League to fight all of these people. Although I suppose that's what Lex is trying to build in the post-credits scene of this film. But I really do think like, even like, yeah, your ideas sound really fun, but I think, unless we know who these characters are, it's not really, you know, you can't spend a movie learning who 14 characters are for the very first time. I think
I'm gonna push again a little bit, and I'm gonna push very simply with Guardians of the Galaxy. Fully unknown groups of people, all a crew. You really learn a lot.
Are they up against 14 villains? Is what I'm saying. They're not.
True.
You know, but that's what you're pitching, right?
Well,
now.
It would have been three, but yeah, the villains is a whole other way of doing it. But I think it's even to your point, it doesn't succeed here because they couldn't focus on these characters and give them a story. But again, that's the fault of just the writing and the people doing it, because you've got Guardians where you've got all these characters and they're able to make you feel something. I think you can do that in like a 2-hour movie of like interesting characters. You kind of get who they are and you could branch off afterwards. Again, under the leadership of someone better, you could probably pull it off. I get what you're saying. That's hard. That's difficult. That's not easy to do, right? Like, they couldn't even do it in comics. These people had comics for like decades before they ever joined up. But like, yeah, it's a struggle even just on paper. And the fact that they were so adamant just, like, think goes back to show, right? The mentality of the people in charge, I think, was already faulty to start this off.
All right, well, let's get into all of the rankings. I'm sure we will have more to say as we do these. The Mother Box rankings, which, of course, you can send in your scores. We are asking you to participate. We would love to hear from you. Super@postshowrecaps.com is our email address. You can send feedback, and you can send your ratings for the movies themselves, the villains, as well as the post-credit sequences on a scale of 0 to 3 Mother Boxes. That's the range. 3 at the high end, 0 at the low. And now it is time to Mother Box Justice League, Kevin. I have it at a 1. I'm giving it a single full Mother Box. Is that insane?
I mean, is that too high, you're asking?
Yeah.
You're asking the wrong person.
Yeah.
Well, wait till you hear my rating.
I'm looking at my scale, and so I gave 1.5 Mother Boxes to Man of Steel. I like Justice League less than that. I gave Department of Justice 0.5 a Mother Box. I like this more than Department of Justice. I gave Suicide Squad 0.5 a Mother Box as well. I think ultimately I enjoyed watching Justice League a little more. 2.5 to Wonder Woman. Obviously, it's just a great movie. I think that there is something just like pleasurable about seeing these characters together that transcends of some of my gripes with it. I don't know. I feel like I actually don't know. I really don't know why I'm giving this a full Mother Box. I think it's because I want to stay on the 5s and 0s, Kevin, and I feel pressure to put this up to a 1. But I think if I search my feelings, it's probably a 0.75, which is what I'm going to give Justice League. 0.75 Mother Boxes is where I'm going to go for Justice League. It's not the worst. I kind of thought this would be the worst of the movies. I do think it is DOJ and Suicide Squad for me are going to ultimately be the worst ones. But I think a 0.75 for Justice League, that feels fair. That's where I'll go.
So for me, I believe I also gave Man of Steel a 1.5. I think Department of Justice and Suicide Squad were way below that.
You gave Department of Justice 1.25.
Yes.
You gave Suicide Squad 0.25. You gave Wonder Woman 2.5.
Yeah. And so for Justice League, compared to all of that, on the scale of what I've been watching and how I ended up feeling about this one, I am going to give it a 1.75. Come at me, nerds.
Wow.
Come at me. Yeah.
1.75.
Sorry. I liked it better than all the other crap that we've watched. I'm sorry. There's just enough elements in there. The interesting things of seeing these characters for the first time. There's enough I can watch the action piece to be like, oh, that would have been cool. There's the Superman sequence, the flashback with the gods. There's enough in this movie and elements of like, oh, that's a very Batman moment. I would rather, because again, consider how I feel about Man of Steel because of Superman. This is better. Having 20 minutes of a mostly there Superman that feels like Superman is going to be better than the movies that I've watched of that's not that character. That's none of these characters.
Yeah. Wow. I'm surprised. This is definitely not what I expected coming into the podcast, but I love a surprise. So this is, you're the surprise, Kevin. From Kevin Mahadeo here for Justice League. Kevin, you are of all the people who have submitted
the highest scores, rated, I'm sure.
You're the highest by 0.75 Mother Boxes. Other than you, it goes as high as a 1. A couple of ones in here. The average listener average for this film is 0.7 Mother Boxes. Here is how the DCEU films rank according to Everything is Super thus far. You ready?
Yeah.
Number 1 with a lasso is Wonder Woman.
No question.
Man of Steel is 2nd. Justice League is 3rd. Justice League is the 3rd best DCEU movie, according to Everything is Super, so far. Then it's DOJ, then it's Suicide Squad. Justice League, right in the middle. Right in the middle. Surprised. Surprise. Here we are.
Sorry, everyone. I mean, be as mad as you want, but like.
Nah, whatever. You got to do your thing. All right. Villains, Steppenwolf. He's the one. I just gave him a half a Mother Box because I like, I love the actor, but otherwise, he's not going to be that good.
Yeah, he's 0.5 as well, and it's entirely certain heights. That's it.
Yeah. So the villains shake out that with scores continuing to come in because this is an active situation and people can continue to submit their scores. It turns out General Zod had been the clubhouse leader for the entirety of the podcast series up to this point. But currently, the Batfleck has overpowered Zod. A little bit of a battle at the top.
Love it.
1.74 mother boxes for Batman in DOJ against General Zod's 1.71. So it's amazing. Real tight. That's exciting. We love to track a battle.
I want to consider that it was entirely my argument about why Batman's a great villain.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, you narcissist. Okay, so it's going to be Batfleck at the top. Zod is next. Ares is third with a mustache that they didn't CGI off, I'll have you know.
That one they should have.
They didn't CGI off Ares' mustache. Ares' mustache,
it's just mustache flashback. Remains there. He's fine.
Yeah. Lex Luthor comes after Ares. Then we go to Enchantress is next on the board. Then we get Steppenwolf. Then I believe we get Jared Leto's Joker shows up next.
God.
And then Doomsday with 0.17 mother boxes and Suicide Squad's Incubus with multiple data points. several data points remains a flat zero mother boxes. Incredible.
This is like, because like even Zod and Batfleck are like, they're fine. Like, they're not even like the villains in these movies are very bad.
Yeah, no, not great. Not great. We finally have a couple of post-credit scenes to toss in the post-credits rankings. Up until this week, Suicide Squad's scene with Batman and Amanda Waller was the reigning champion because there's nothing else up to that point. And there's nothing in Wonder Woman as well. There are two post-credit scenes in Justice League. One is at the mid-credits. One is at the end. And I think some people didn't stick around for that. Our scores are light for the Lex Luthor scene. So please send them in. super@postshowrecaps.com. But Kevin, let's rate these two post-credit scenes. Why don't you go first for once?
Man,
let's start with the race. The Flash versus race. Superman.
Here's the thing. I love that scene. So, two.
Hey, I did the same thing.
Yeah.
It's, I like that scene too.
It's the one moment because the Flash and Superman should race. It's fun. It again, the CG of it all, but like the concept is great. The concept is very fun. This is the like humor and lightheartedness that you want for some of these characters. And so I really enjoyed that. It's easily my favorite thus far.
And now the final scene of the movie in which Lex Luthor has somehow escaped captivity. Mm-hmm. He is on a boat. I'm on a boat. And he is accepting the company of one Slade Wilson, Deathstroke, a.k.a. Joe Manganiello, rowing up, hanging out with Lex Luthor. We should form a league of our own. That goes absolutely nowhere. Zero stars. Zero mother boxes for me.
I'm giving it a one for the sheer hilarity of the fact that it goes nowhere.
It goes nowhere.
The cojones on deciding to do that.
Hilarious.
Incredible.
Hilarious. But I'm gonna give it a... The scene itself is not awful, but I think ceremonially, for what it represents, I have no choice but to give it a zero.
I'm giving it a one for exactly what it was. This is the world we're in here.
All right, the Robin Award for Best Sidekick. Does Robin have someone to put up? Because if not, I think Emily Fox would volunteer underwater pirate. But I don't think that quite counts.
No, she does. Because this isn't your typical movie and it's like such a large ensemble cast, she did go with one of the main members because you got it. And so it's going to be Wonder Woman. She's still... I think the most solid portrayal in the films, and Robin very much agrees. Like Wonder Woman as the actress and the character has not really been a letdown, so she definitely takes it here, I think, without question.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, the Amazons also, did we talk about this? That was another thing. I'm curious to see what it's like in the Snyder, but like their costumes are all different and it just also feels a little less feminine.
Yeah, well,
because of that.
This was for sure a thing. And I remember at the time that the movie came out that people were like, what's going on and why do they look like overly sexualized from Zack Snyder, but not from Patty Jenkins? And it's like, well, there's your answer.
There's your answer.
But also I think like a big piece of it was like the disjointedness of like the cross communication across the board. Yeah. Like, there's no organizational effort that's really.
Well, to be fair, you shouldn't have to say, hey, try not to over-sexualize the Amazons.
Of course, but what you should probably also be doing is making them look consistent from movie to movie.
For sure.
So, like, that's not, there's no, like, air traffic control on any of that stuff, it seems like. All right, and then finally, we've got the final battle rankings that, Kevin, you and I are in charge of. And just to remind you where they are.
Right, yes.
Because
yes,
you
yes.
forgot.
I did.
The last time, and I remind you. You've got a document that you could look at. Anytime you want to open that, Kevin, you certainly can. At the top, Batman versus Superman, Department of Justice. Wonder Woman comes next. Man of Steel is third. Suicide Squad is fourth. Kevin, this is, you know what? This is your movie. This is your time.
This is my time?
This is your time, Kevin. I'm going to remove myself from the process. I'm going to say you get to pick wherever you want to put Justice League's final battle.
Man.
How about that?
Yeah.
Happy New Year, Kevin.
This is actually harder than you would think. So, like, I think again, there's bits and pieces, right? I think Superman using his cold breath is cool. Wonder Woman is an Aquaman have, like, cool moments. But Batman feels like, why is he there? The Flash, I think they kind of use right here and there. Again, it's a lot of, like, on paper. There's things that I think are quite there, but it doesn't fully work. So I'm personally, I will say it's underneath the Batman vs. Superman for sure. I just don't know if it's above Wonder Woman or below Wonder Woman. So I want to hear your thought on that, because that's where I feel like it's falling. It's falling in that space for me.
Okay, so it is either between BVS and Wonder Woman, or it's between Wonder Woman and Man of Steel. I almost wonder... I almost wonder if this would be worth putting off until next week, because I kind of feel like maybe we want to compare the two final Justice League battles, because they're essentially the same battle but done differently.
Interesting.
I would a motion to delay the ranking of the Justice League final battle until next week's podcast.
I think that motion's approved. I like that idea. We can compare and contrast.
This is your list and my list, right? We just need two people need to agree. So let's postpone the final battle ranking till next week. I think will be fun. We've got some feedback from the folks. If you want to write in, of course, super@postshowrecaps.com. That's super@postshowrecaps.com. Or hang out with us in the Patreon Discord, postshowrecaps.com/Patreon. Another Josh in the Discord wrote, well, on the one hand, it's only 2 hours. On the other hand, it's only 2 hours. This is the Justice League. It's supposed to be the pinnacle of the universe is coming together. So I feel that. I feel that deeply. Like, on one hand, like, yeah, this is pretty breezy to watch today. On the other hand, like, I shouldn't be watching this movie being grateful that it's 2 hours. That does feel like a fail.
Which was definitely one of those things I believe was another studio. Like, this needs to be just 2 hours.
Felipe writes in with, sorry to these Russians, but did anyone care at all about them while watching the movie? The family feels so out of place.
They are. Here's the thing. I didn't think to talk about the family, but the family is another. You've heard me talk about screenwriting 101 many, many, many times, right? Storytelling 101. This is that, right? This is storytelling 101, and it is done very lazily, because storytelling 101 tells you that when you have a global threat, it doesn't work for people. If the threat is too big, people don't understand it and they don't connect to it. So when there's something, a big threat going on, what you want to do is focus on like a person or a family, right? Like, it's the big picture, little people. And that's what they were trying to do. They wanted you to feel something for this family. However, they had to do reshoots and they couldn't really have any of the family members talk, because if you talk, you have to pay them and they're not extras. So that's what happened. Like, 100%. That's what happened. That's why, because the other difficult thing is that it's really difficult to connect to people who don't have dialogue, who don't emote a lot, and they don't do anything. I think the dad had one line, And that was it. And so, yeah, it was 100% very clearly that they wanted to make sure that people feel something about this threat by making you feel for this family that's in danger, but they failed in accomplishing it because of, you know, budget.
Yeah.
This clearly is what happened there.
This, well, we'll see if they have a bigger role next time. Let's see when we do this again.
No, I'm going to guess that they don't exist in the Snyder version.
When we
Snyder
do
doesn't care about people.
When we do Justice League, but make it 4 hours, we'll see what that looks like. This is from Alex. Alex says, a big problem is I just watched 2 hours and I still don't know what or why is Steppenwolf. At least Zod has a clear reason to destroy / terraform Earth. Was Steppenwolf also doing that? And is the Box Unity actually his mother? Ultimately, I don't really care. That's Alex's feedback for this movie. Are the mother boxes Steppenwolf's mom?
No, but like that's the thing is that they cut all the Darkseid stuff, right? Like they didn't want any reference to Darkseid, I believe, when they edited the movie for this version. So anything that would have referenced Darkseid or talk about Darkseid as a bigger threat, they just got rid of. They just wanted it to be Steppenwolf, and so that's why that also feels that way, because like any explanation is gone out the window.
Yeah. All right. From Jacob, we'll close out here. Jacob says, I'll start with the positives. The acting in this overall is really strong. You can tell these guys are professionals. Gal Gadot owns that role. Affleck is great. Ezra Miller, controversy aside, is a fantastic Flash. I'll say I don't remember Aquaman being that much of an asshole, but Jason Momoa seems to be having fun. As for the movie itself, well, it's bad. Plot is a disaster. Writing's all over the place. How Superman comes back to life makes no sense. Steppenwolf is an awful, awful villain. Did I mention he's awful? You're given no reason as to his motives or why we care about him at all. There is, at the very least, a good movie in there somewhere. And I'm curious to see if it's the Snyder Cut. That is Jacob's feedback. And that does lead us very nicely into next week's podcast. Kevin and I are going to watch all 4 hours of Zack Snyder's Justice League. Kevin, if I may, I would recommend feel free to watch it kind of episodically. It's going to be pretty clear that there are like episodes within Zack Snyder's Justice League. Don't feel like you got to like sit through a 4-hour movie in one go. I think that you could like break this up with pee breaks. You could go to sleep and wake up the next day and resume.
I might start watching tonight and just do it over the course of the next week.
Yeah.
It might be the way to do it. I have a pretty good memory, so I think I'll be able to do that and still be ready for the podcast next week. But
I think you can take your time. I think you can treat Zack Snyder's Justice League like a TV show. I really do. I think like it plays episodically. I think that you can hang out with it episodically, or you can watch it like a movie, which it alleges to be.
Oh, isn't it like in 4:3 ratio?
Yeah.
Ugh. I'm so angry already.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All my goodwill is going away.
It's also the colors are all muted down. All of them. Every last one of them.
Make sure you watch also the regular version, because like the Justice is Gray, for those who don't know, it's not a joke. There's literally two versions of this movie that exist on HBO Max. One is Zack Snyder's Justice League, and the other one is Justice League Justice is Gray, in which it's literally a black and white film.
Yeah, just because like,
God, that, like yeah, so angry.
Really got to rob it of all the. I've never done the black and white one. Maybe that's what I should do. Maybe
knock
I should
yourself
watch,
out.
Maybe I should watch the Justice is Gray, because I've never seen it, and I haven't seen the original Snyder Cut since I watched it the first time.
You ever thought how would a dog see this movie?
Yeah, maybe I want to find out. Maybe I'll do the Gray Tones. I'll report back at the Gray Tones and see how that goes. So we're watching Zack Snyder's Justice League for the podcast next week. Get your ratings in super@postshowrecaps.com. You can get your feedback in that way as well. It shall be collected by the Jimmy Olsen of Everything is Super, the great Brendan Fitzpatrick. And make sure you're subscribed to the podcast as well. You'll never miss an episode. postshowrecaps.com/super. That's postshowrecaps.com/super. If you want our RSS link to search by URL in your podcatcher of choice, you could also just search Post Show Recaps. Everything is super. You'll find us that way as well. Kevin Mahadeo is on Twitter @KevMahadeo. You're also, what are you at Mahadman?
Gonna say, yeah, you know what? Like, Twitter's whatever. Follow me on Instagram. The Mahadman. The Mahad Man. There we go.
He's posted pictures of food and stuff. Lots of culinary adventures.
Culinary adventures. You can see bits of our trip. I'm going to be posting some of our sightseeing photos coming up. So that's going to be really fun.
Great.
Follow me there.
All right. Follow Kevin there. Also listen to the Doctor Who podcast between Kevin, Melissa, and Adam, which has resumed now that Kevin is back. That's in the post-show recaps patron podcast feed. Again, that's patreon.com/post-show recaps. At literally any level, you will get access to that podcast feed where Whoway is happening on a weekly basis. You're still talking Tenet, David?
Yeah, we're still on Tenet. We're on Tenet's second season, so we got a minute to go. Feel free to jump in. I mean, it's Doctor Who. You could really join us at any point in time. So you can even start with this week's episode and check it out.
All right. Sounds fun. Kevin, do we think James Gunn broke any news while we were doing the podcast?
God, that'd be so funny.
Let's just do a quick search of James Gunn's Twitter.
James Gunn is trending. We're just like, oh God.
let's just see for posterity's sake. No, we're good. This is still like some Lego Guardians of the Galaxy nonsense. So that looks fun. All right, folks. Zack Snyder's Justice League and whatever news from the DCEU that is fit to print coming next week on Everything is Super.